Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyidi Ubaidah, lengthy hadith of Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, the child from Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had become ill, and the child passed away. But the father, who was fasting that day, and he returned home, and when he inquired that, "How is my child doing?" she said, "He's very calm and he's at ease now." But actually he had passed away already. And she prepared food for him, and she made herself up also very much. And they had relations or ships also that night. And from there a child was born, finally. And also further we read that when they were returned, they went with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for jihad on an expedition. And when they were returning, she started experiencing labor pains of the child coming into birth, of the child birth coming. So then he made dua to Allah Ta'ala that always he used to leave Medina with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, return with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now, because his wife is experiencing the pangs of childbirth about to come, so then Allah Ta'ala made it that those pains of hers went away and he returned together with her. From here, there are a number of lessons to learn. One is that the child, the mother sent Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was also her child, and to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have the tahniq made. So tahniq means to soften a piece of date in the mouth and then place it beneath the palate of a newborn baby so that it may swallow it. It is done as a good omen of iman, because dates are the fruit of a tree that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam compared to a believer. This tahniq is that it is given to a pious person to suck on, or even the father, and then the soft part of it is put with the finger on the palate of the child. Automatically the child starts sucking on that, and by this the sugar levels become balanced in the child. One great benefit. Actually, it is only the sunnah that we have to do, but there are so many other benefits. The muscles and the jaws of this child are stimulated. The child is just born, and because of the khajur, the date being sweet, automatically the child starts sucking on it, stimulating its muscles and jaws, and now when it breastfeeds on the mother, it makes it much more easier. So all this has been proven even scientifically. Kitabs have been written on this, on the various great virtues and the great material, physical benefits of sunnahs. Further, as we read in the hadith, that when the child had passed away, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was an exceptionally brave woman, she was even permitted on occasion to go out with the man for jihad. And she used to do work which a woman would do when on the battlefield. However, when a child had passed away, this takes more than a lion's heart. That she put the child to rest, and she made herself up. Her husband, who was fasting on that day, when he came a bit later, she presented food to him and then even shared the bed with him. From here we learn the one great thing, that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are the criteria for us how we should make our lives. And we have to see that we don't find, na'uzu billah, any fault. That how could she have done that? Her child had passed away, and she was, merrymaking. But that was the criteria. The law of Allah is reigned superior, and whatever Allah has decreed, that comes first. From here, in our day-to-day lives, we have to take lessons also. That she put Allah's law first. and her own sentiments. As a mother, definitely she had great feelings for her child. But she saw what is the law of Allah. We have to attend many times functions, like wedding functions, many other functions, where the laws of Allah are openly flouted. But it makes no difference to us. We don't worry about that. We put our family ties first. That it's my family, they invited me to this wedding, and what can I do? We don't worry of the intermingling of sexes, which is a very salient feature of Islam, that man must be separate, woman must be separate. Music takes place, which is totally haram in Islam. Videoing, photographing takes place, which is also totally haram. So all these things and many other things, the amount of wastage that takes place at weddings, the time that is wasted, the money that is spent if a person thinks. And if we look at the sunnah weddings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are extremely simple. And the amount of people who are invited, all those who come, and the transport expenses, though it is not on the host, but everyone is spending money. And the clothes that are prepared for the wedding by everyone, amount of money that is spent on one wedding. And yet, so we have to see not what we like to do, not what society wants us to do, not what our customs and norms are, but we have to see what the commandments of Allah Ta'ala are and what the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are. And in every situation we should just weigh that what would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do on this occasion, what would the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum do on that occasion. This is a thing that needs a great effort of iman. Otherwise a person succumbs easily to his own nafs desires also, and to the pressure of society also. We can't even ward off the pressure of the wife when she wants something which is not according to Sharia. We are so weak that even our children who demand things which are against Sharia, we know it, we dislike it, but being under the pressure of our children, we also do whatever they want us to do. So this level of iman has to, effort has to be made, that what Allah's command is, what His Rasul's command is, and the criteria in practical life we'll see in the lives of the Sahaba, that is what we should adopt. So of the many lessons that we learn from this, this is one important lesson. May Allah in His kindness and mercy bless us with these qualities.